Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Friday edition of the show. Glad you're with us. IU spring football game last night. Early, somewhat look at what Indiana football could be like. I think there are some exciting things to take away from that. We'll recap the spring football game today. And the transfer portal rolls along. It produces news sometimes on the hour and a lot to cover. Some new names for Indiana, some other names picking up some momentum. And then Indiana still the favorite for at least one other big name right now in the portal. So we'll get caught up on all things related to portaling today here on this Friday as well. We've got some great guests set to join us also. And heading into Thunder Over Louisville weekend. My favorite part, the air show. And I think it's supposed to be a little bit cloudy tomorrow, so it may affect some of that. I don't know if it's all going to happen or not. Haven't kept up with that, but traffic can become a nightmare this weekend. Still a really fun event, kicking off Derby time here in Kentuckiana. And I was thinking, you know, we really get the best of both worlds because we get the Indianapolis 500, which I know I feel a little disconnected from that here in Southern Indiana, but the Derby just across the river, all the festivities that go along with that. College basketball, we get to share the joy or sometimes misery of the other local colleges as well. So just a good area for sports is Kentuckiana, and glad we're entering Derby season. I'm not a big horse guy, definitely not a guy that wants to go to the Derby on a regular basis or the Oaks or anything like that on a regular basis and battle those big crowds. But it is a fun celebratory time here in the area, and kind of glad it's getting ready to start because with basketball gone, really the NBA playoffs from a basketball perspective are about all you've got to follow right now. Of course, the transfer portal, if you're an IU diehard, that's going to keep you busy and active. But fun time here with Thunder Over Louisville this weekend. So hopefully you're getting out and going to stay away from the high waters of the Ohio River right now. But should be a fun weekend with Thunder Over Louisville. Let's look at the show lineup for today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one in just a moment. Our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll get into the portal. We'll get into the spring football game. I'm going to bring on producer Justin Kalen and get his thoughts on the spring football game and some of the portal situations for IU basketball right now. Later in the show, Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, will join us. We'll break down spring football. We'll talk about IU basketball with him. And then Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will be with us in the final segment today. And the Mr. Basketball finalists have been announced for the coveted Indiana Mr. Basketball Award for the 23-24 high school hoop season. We'll go through those nominees and talk about who are the leaders from the list of finalists. One of those guys is going to go on to become Mr. Basketball for this past season and wear the number one on his jersey in the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games coming up here later this summer. That's the lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for great lunch. They've got wonderful sandwiches and salads, also soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. You can sign up for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards and receive 25 cents off per gallon of great weekly fuel offers you just can't pass up. Download the app at the App Store or on Google Play today. And again, it's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. You can download it today for lots of great deals. Want to also tell you The Big X Sports Radio golf card is now available. It's back this year, and the card features Park Mammoth, Old Capitol, Elk Run, Valley View, Wooded View, Taylorsville Country Club, and Christmas Lake down in Santa Claus, Indiana. Lots of great Southern Indiana courses on there. You can play these courses for under $25 a round with the Big X Sports Radio golf card. Get yours today by logging on to BigXSportsRadio.com. Again, BigXSportsRadio.com, or call 812-725-1457, 812-725-1457. Let's get into some headlines. Justin Kalen, Scoots, are you with us today?
I'm here, yes. How are you, Matt?
Spring football game last night. My biggest takeaway, I didn't watch all of it, and there really wasn't a whole bunch to watch. It was a short deal, late 8 o'clock, but my biggest takeaway was new energy exists with the coaching staff and players, and I don't think that should be any surprise after what we've seen from Coach Cignetti so far in his young time at Indiana.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, I mean, anytime you get a new coach come in, you would expect there to be a renewed energy within the program, and that seems like exactly what we've got at Indiana. And I was reading up on some Cignetti stats yesterday. I saw that he has never had a losing season, a number of other things that he's accomplished throughout his career. So not only is it giving renewed energy to the team and the coaching staff and just the program as a whole, but it's also providing renewed energy for the fan base, because I mean, there's tons of people out there like me that just like seeing all the stuff that he's accomplished, and to know that you've got somebody coming in that has been a winner in the past. And I mean I googled him. I'll be the first to tell you, I googled him. I can see that he wins. So it's nice to have a new blood in the building, and hopefully it can translate into wins come the season.
All right, any takeaways on players or positions that stand out to you? I think my number one takeaway, or maybe exciting thing to think about here in the offseason now, is the development of Taven Jackson, Trace Jackson Davis's younger brother. I know it was just a spring game, not a lot of hitting, not a lot of great competition for him to go against on the other side, but he was very appealing for maybe what he could do this season.
Yeah, I didn't get to check out the game last night, so I don't have any deep insight on players or any of that. But, yeah, Taven Jackson, definitely a guy that you look forward to seeing in a Hoosier uniform this year. I thought he showed some pretty good flashes last season for the team, so I'm not even 100% sure if he's going to be the starter come the start of the season, so we'll just hold back on that. But, yeah, he can definitely be a guy that helps this team win games just because he's been in the program. And yeah, it's going to be a different philosophies from the coaching staff, and I'm sure different formations and offense, defense, all that stuff. But he seems like a smart kid, seems like a kid that would be able to pick that up quickly. So I'd like to think that he does have a leg up in the quarterback competition, but there's going to be several other guys that step up and try to take that spot for themselves. And that's exactly what you want if you're Coach Cignetti and this coaching staff, right? You want competition. Competition breeds greatness. I mean, you got to have guys consistently battling for those jobs, and whoever comes out on top, you'd like to think, is okay, that's going to be the guy I roll with. Doesn't mean the other guys aren't any good, it just means they're not as good as that number one guy. So yeah, competition's never a bad thing, especially with a football program like Indiana's, who has had so many struggles throughout the years.
Talking with Justin Kalen, producer of this show, transfer portal, I guess you'd call this news. Kentucky transfer Adu Thierro is down to 5 schools according to ESPN. Indiana, one of those 5 schools. He's also considering a return to Kentucky, considering going to Arkansas with Coach Cal, North Carolina, and Pitt also on that list of 5 as well. He averaged 7.2 points and 5 rebounds this past season, started 19 games, projected as a first-round pick in the 25, so not this summer, but the following summer, the 2025 NBA draft. He is very intriguing to me as a player in college basketball for probably one more season. I don't know that Indiana can pull him away from Kentucky and new coach Mark Pope, or can pull him away from his former coach, Coach Cal, at Arkansas, but he definitely is someone that would be a major pickup for Indiana if they could swing it here out of the portal.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The second I saw Duthiero's name in the portal, I started salivating. That's a kid that every Indiana Hoosier should want. And I know he played for Kentucky, and that seems like the devil, but it shouldn't be like that. Duthiero was the one guy on Kentucky's team this past season that has that dog mentality. He was constantly on the floor. He's just a hustle machine, block shots. He's good inside. He doesn't really shoot from beyond the perimeter all that great, but that's something that he could maybe improve upon as the season goes along. But yeah, Duthiero is definitely a guy. When I saw him in the portal, that was number one for me. I would love to have Duthiero, and he would help this Indiana team a whole lot. They need some guys like that that are just have that dog hustle mentality, and Duthiero matches that mold fantastically. It's almost it's like the whole Anthony Leal thing. You remember when Anthony Leal would get in games last year, and it seemed different because he understood what was going on. He knew where he had to be on the floor, just hustled his butt off, and that's what you're going to get out of Duthiero. So yeah, I'll be keeping my eye on that one. That's a big one for me. Would love to have Thiero in the fold in an Indiana uniform.
Justin, I guess right now the biggest name related to Indiana where the Hoosiers seem to have a great chance is Stanford transfer guard Cannon Carlisle. Mm-hmm. And I believe he is still scheduled to be on campus starting later today. He is someone that obviously guards and shooting and overhaul, a change needed, some help needed, trying to put that in the kindest way possible. But Carlisle, a lot of people have him projected to go to Indiana in some of these crystal ball picks. So he's the big one out there, in addition to the lands that Mike Woodson and the IU staff already have. If they add Carlisle to what they've got, that's a huge gathering so far. There'll still be open spots, but my goodness, Indiana with some real talent coming in for next season, and Carlisle would just be an extension of the first two they've already reeled in.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know a whole lot about Carlisle, but it's kind of similar to what I said with the football team, right? It's you've got to have that competition within practice, within your team, to elevate everybody else's game. So if you're Indiana, just continue to bring in portal guys. Bring in the best portal guys that you can go get. Fill the entire roster with portal guys for all I care. I think I said it earlier this week. It just following the portal for me has been a lot of fun. So having all these names out there floating around that Indiana's been in contact with, or they've contacted Indiana, what have you, it's just been a lot of fun to follow. So Carlisle, it does seem like he's been getting the hype for a couple weeks now to come to Indiana. So I'm excited to see if he does end up committing, and then I'll delve into his footage from last season and just really see what this guy's all about. But yeah, it's going to be a fun offseason, and they're going to continue to work. There's what, 4 or 5 spots still more to fill, so there's going to be lots of news coming out. Hopefully Carlisle's comes pretty soon. You would think it would with as long as he's been mentioned with Indiana. So yeah, really excited for this upcoming season and to continue to watch this portal in the here in the offseason.
One portal name that really has gained some steam with Indiana in the last couple days, in fact, he was on campus Wednesday, as a player named Connor Esegin, mm-hmm. who played at Central Noble, which is up in the Fort Wayne area. And I tracked Esegin throughout his high school career. He was a dead-eye shooter.
Yeah.
You would think maybe would fit the bill for Indiana with some of their needs. Went to Wisconsin. It really didn't pan out for him at Wisconsin as I thought that it might. That just seemed like a perfect fit coming out of high school for him. Not sure exactly what happened, but I wonder if he would be a good fit at Indiana. I've got one reservation, Scoots, and that is when Central Noble and Providence played in the 2A state championship game. I had followed Esegin all season long, outstanding high school basketball player in our state and a great college prospect the last couple years of high school. The Providence defense, who didn't have any extra special athlete or anyone super quick or really even super big, they were able to really shut him down, really slow him down. And that will always stick with me from that state championship game. So Providence, I know they're defensive-minded, defensive-oriented, but they found a way to shut down Esegin in a big state championship game, and that's a little bit of a concern when you think about defense he has seen at Wisconsin and could see at Indiana in the Big Ten Conference. But he definitely is a name that is getting some interest from Indiana, and he started off just as kind of one of many. But then whenever someone comes on campus, that means it's pretty serious both ways. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with another in-state player in Connor Essejian.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to follow, no doubt. Like you, though, Matt, I too have some reservations with Essejian. Let me just give you a couple of his career stats. So in 2022-2023 at Wisconsin, he was playing 27.4 minutes per game and shooting 36% from three. Last season, only 7.3 minutes a game and 30% from deep. So those numbers alone are pretty alarming to me. I don't know the background of Wisconsin's roster, why that may have been. Maybe they brought in a guy or two to play over Essejian. So I don't want to read into it too much, but those numbers are slightly alarming. 36% from three you can deal with. Around that 30% mark, that's when you start questioning, well, can this guy do it? Now, you turn to his free throw percentage, and he's basically 90% in both years he was at Wisconsin. So when you think about the struggles that Indiana has gone through the past few seasons, it's been three-point shooting and it's been free throw shooting. So Essejian, a guy like him, is an opportunity to improve in both of those areas. So maybe he gets to Indiana and he finds the long ball again and finds his stroke from outside. So I'll hold off reservations for that. But yeah, nice to have him on campus. And you honestly, Matt, I could care less about the names. I'm just so excited and glad that Indiana's getting guys on campus. I mean, not that I think that there's anything to be scared of, but you just like to, I don't know. I'm glad Woodson's getting these guys on campus, whether they commit or not. It's just nice to be players in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do wonder, none of this is really reportable or able to be confirmed, but you do wonder, how much money does Indiana have to work with this offseason with NIL money? Because the rumors are out there that it's big dollars and there's been some major commitments to help make this thing work for Mike Woodson next season, to really bring in some of the best in the portal. But obviously some of the rumors floating out there about Balo, $1.2 million. Again, just a rumor. We can't report that or talk about that in any kind of factual way. But if it's anything close to that, that is unbelievable, especially when you add up other players from the portal coming in, other players from last season's roster that have NIL deals and probably have increased those since last season. Just an amazing amount of NIL money flowing through Bloomington right now. And I guess, Scoots, that's good news if you're Indiana fans listening, because it shows Indiana supporters, companies, area people willing to play the game, I guess. So maybe that's good news for Indiana that they've leveled up their NIL moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing what they have to do, right? I mean, this is pretty much what every university's doing. You've got to do whatever you can to get the best players on campus. The only thing that really worries me about the way the transfer portal is now and all these numbers getting out there is I don't want that to divide any sort of locker room. When you've got guys, I mean, you and I have heard the $1.2 million for Balo. Whether that's true or not doesn't really matter, but I'm just hoping that's not something that gets in the heads of his teammates. Like, say Connor Essejian commits and he's only promised $400,000 in nil. Is there going to be some sort of resentment there between him and Balo? So that's really the only thing I worry about with all this stuff. I don't want there to be resentment between teammates just because they know what the other guy's making in nil. So hopefully that stuff stays on the back burner and that doesn't come up. I'm sure there's going to be programs where that's going to be an issue this season. Just hoping that Indiana's not one of them.
Yeah, no question. Justin Kalen, producer with me here to start our Friday show. We'll head to a quick break. We'll come back with Dylan Wallace. He's the former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. He still joins me Fridays. We talk a lot of IU stuff. We'll get into the spring game a bit more, IU basketball with him as well. Still ahead also, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. So keep it locked with us today here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday edition of the program. Somebody just sent me a text. The Washington Mystics say that due to unprecedented demand for their game against the Indiana Fever, excuse me, and Caitlin Clark, on June 7th, their game is being moved from their arena, which seats 4,200 people, to Capital One Arena, which seats 20,000 people. And I believe there's already been some instances in the WNBA where games when the Fever and Caitlin Clark are coming to town have been rescheduled or moved to bigger arenas, which is awesome for the WNBA. And great to see that already the number one pick of the Fever, Caitlin Clark, is affecting the professional game of women's basketball as well in big rates as she did the college game for sure. Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune, still a regular guest on this program each Friday. Dylan, I kind of open the floor up to you for IU football to start our conversation. Did you get a chance to watch the spring game last night? And even watching at home, I could sense the change in excitement, the difference in the coaching staff, the way players answered questions and were interviewed. And I was even told there was a good number of people tailgating for a spring game. It's been a long time since there ever was a spring game in Bloomington, let alone tailgaters excited to get out for a scrimmage opportunity. So maybe some positive things going on with IU football in Bloomington, I think all IU fans hope.
Yeah, I was able to actually tune in. I kind of forgot it was on, and then I was scrolling through channels, and I saw it was on Big Ten Network, and I threw it on, and I watched the whole thing, both first and second quarter. You know, I think the most positive thing was no one got hurt. I think Cignetti said that after the game. They were able to stay away from any injuries during the game, which was great. It was really fun to watch, just to see the new-look team, to see the offense. You can really tell in the passing game just how kind of spread out the field is, how many gaps and things the receivers create for each other. It was really nice to kind of see. And yeah, I saw Zach Osterman's tweet from the Indy Star about just how many people he saw out tailgating before the game. There were a decent amount of people in the crowd, you know, just there kind of hanging out, and there were some reactions to some big plays. You know, it was fun to watch Curtis Rourke and Taven Jackson, which I think was probably the biggest takeaway from the game. Was I think Curtis Rourke was just kind of penciled in as a starter, but I think, you know, maybe if there is a race, it might be closer than we think, because Taven Jackson looked really good last night. And he did play against the you know, second-team defense, so he wasn't going against the first-team guys. But I think Cignetti even made a comment, you know, I don't know if our second-team offense is really good, if second-team defense is really bad. But, you know, all in general, Taven looked really good throwing the ball, which was nice to see. And I just saw it was just a nice vibe. The fans were there and showing out, and you know, it was a decent amount of highlight plays to go around for fans to get welcome. So overall, it was fun. It was just nice to see it happen. We haven't, like you said, we haven't seen that for a while. You know, Tom Allen would always just do these closed scrimmages, and then we'd talk to him, you know, the Monday after the Saturday, and we would just kind of hear about what happened. So it was nice to actually see stuff on the field, get a bit of a glimpse into what some things could look like. So it was nice. I had a good time watching it. It was just nice to see football back on the field, and I think everyone's still pretty excited from what they saw last night about kind of the direction this program is going to heading into the fall.
What do you think success in year one looks like for Coach Cignetti? Is that a certain number of wins? Are there already bowl game expectations for him? Or is there some baseline you think that he needs to reach to show there's some slow and steady improvement with IU football?
I think in general, for the most part, it should just be a level of kind of competency and competitiveness on the field. You know, I don't know if there has to be a certain win threshold they have to hit. You know, obviously the schedule kind of breaks nicely for them, so I know some fans are pretty optimistic that this team does have a chance to get to 6 wins and get to a bowl game, which is kind of exciting. You know, I don't want to put too much pressure into, like, they have to be 6-6 or 7-5 for this to be a successful season. You know, I think there is a path if they do win. You know, I think 4 games might be a little disappointing, but if they're like 5-7, but have some, just look a lot better and look a lot more like a team that has a plan and just better on the field in general, I think fans could be pretty happy with that, because I think you could at least point to things with the trajectory heading in the right direction. But, you know, with the way the schedule breaks with FIU, Western Illinois, you know, you play at a UCLA team that was might have a losing a lot. You play Charlotte, Maryland, and Northwestern, you know, Nebraska, Washington, a lot of teams who have lost a lot and it could beat. So the schedule starts out really well before they play Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue. So there's a real opportunity here if Indiana is able to kind of get things going over the summer. have a really good fall camp and put things together for the field, you know, there is a path to 6 wins, which would be really, really exciting. You know, I think that would get everybody really amped up to see this team go to another bowl game, you know, their first one in a few years. So, you know, I don't think it's a requirement. It certainly would be nice, but I think just overall, just the level of sort of competitiveness on the field that was just really lacking. I mean, how many losses they have to Rutgers or Maryland where they just got completely blown off the field? You know, if you can avoid that kind of look, I think that fans will be pretty happy, even if you fall a little bit short of bowl eligibility.
Talking with Dylan Wallace, excuse me, all choked up today, Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. Dylan, let's get to IU basketball and the transfer portal. The Hoosiers have reeled in some really talented players and some big fish out of the portal. Has Indiana doing enough to answer some of the concerns with the roster from last season, specifically shooting? We know other names that Indiana's involved with. There's some projections out there that they might land Cannon Carlisle from Stanford. But is Indiana really working to answer the call of the poor shooting, specifically three-point shooting, by addressing that from the portal so far this year?
That aspect, no. I don't think that they're quite there yet. You know, I know Connor Sejan was here earlier this week, up in the air if they'll be able to land him. Connor Hickman went to Cincinnati, so a few of the guys that I think fans were interested in that are good shooters haven't come here yet. I think there's still work to be done in terms of just the shooting that Indiana needs to bring on, but I think overall when you look at what they've done, it's been really, really positive. You know, the number one transfer, it seems like, across a lot of the boards here with Omar Ballo coming in. You know, if they, like I think fans, like, no, everyone wants to see Indiana play like a little bit more modern style offense, but if they are going to play, you know, two bigs and kind of continue this style, you may as well get the best guy coming in, and that's what they did. So that's exciting. I said last week, you know, the guy I really wanted was Miles Rice, or 2 weeks ago, to get him in the door as kind of that steady point guard who has a number of years left of eligibility could be really, really important for this program going forward, not just for next year. So, you know, those two guys I think are going to be really big. I think they're both going to be probably starters. So to bring in two starters to add in with a Trey Galloway, a Malik Renew, and Mackenzie Mbako, you know, in that lineup, you have Gabe Cups and Anthony Leal off the bench, and Ja'Kai Newton, if he's able to get healthy and contribute early, and, you know, obviously Bryson Tucker, a five-star prospect. So the pieces are starting to come together a little bit. They still do need to address the shooting concerns and probably get like a backup big, maybe like a Peyton Sparks type who maybe can come in here or there and give some minutes. You know, I was listening to Alex Bozich, former employer of mine, and you know, it comes on the show on Thursdays. He made a really good point, was like, if you look at what Indiana lost to the portal, you know, CJ Gunn, Caleb Banks, Peyton Sparks, and obviously Clearwater going to the draft. Like, you know, nothing against those guys, but you probably weren't going to project them to contribute a whole lot this season. So what you brought out and what you're bringing in with Rice and Ballo, just in terms of production, you've already upgraded a lot in terms of, like, minutes on the floor, production. Like, that's already an upgrade. So I think that's a positive way to look at it, even though there still is more work to be done. And obviously Carlisle is going to be here this weekend. I saw Miles Rice is in Bloomington again, so he might try to help recruit him in. So, you know, to add another backcourt piece could be really important for this team. So everyone's going to be pretty excited and locked in on Carlisle in Bloomington this weekend. So I think overall it's been really positive. I mean, I've certainly been happy with what they've done so far. I know everyone's going to talk about shooting. You know, if they can try to find one or two guys that could just be knockdown shooters to come in, that would be obviously great, make the fans feel better. But so far, I can't be too mad about what's been going on. I'm really excited about Rice and Ballo coming in, and I think this team could do some fun things, but we just got to see. There's obviously still more spots to fill. We'll see how it all plays out and how the team really comes together.
Dylan Wallace with us here on this Friday edition of the show. Dylan, in the transfer portal, there are still some big fish out there. Cannon Carlisle, a name I've mentioned already a couple times today. There are other names Indiana has been involved with, other names that have been on campus. But I tell you what, every time I open up Twitter or social media or read anything sports-related, there are still players entering the portal even as of today. And this thing has been open now since the start of the NCAA tournament, which has been, golly, just about a month, over a month ago. It is amazing. This thing is still ratcheting up as far as the number of entries.
And it's still going to until May 1st. I would not be shocked if, you know, we still see more guys, even though it's been open for like a month now. There's going to be more dudes who feel like in a few weeks, you know what, maybe I do want to transfer and go somewhere else. And we're going to see it continually hit, you know, up until May 1st. And I think even after May 1st, I think grad students still have the chance if they want to try to look to go somewhere else. So, you know, we got a long summer ahead of us still, a long few weeks left of new guys coming in that could pop up. You know, I saw Adu Thiro is down to five schools, and IU is one of them. You know, I wouldn't expect him to come to Indiana because he'd probably assume a backup role as sort of a three-forward type position. But he's an interesting guy to maybe look at if he decides he wants to come to Indiana. So, yeah, there's still a lot of names left out there. And the biggest one is Carlisle from Stanford, who will be in Bloomington this weekend. So I think all fans are going to be pretty locked in on him and see, you know, if Indiana can get that backcourt piece. And then it'd be really curious to see, like, would he commit to be promised a starting spot? Because then that means Trey Galloway's probably coming off the bench. Would he be okay having a bench role with Galloway as a starter? Like, there's a lot of things now in play with this team. And that's why I think a lot of the huge names in the portal, you know, Indiana probably wouldn't go get, because they kind of have their starting roster combined. So now you got to really go find the role players. You got to find guys who can really come in and contribute and come in for 10, 15 minutes a game and make an impact. You know, those are the guys that Indiana has to go get. You know, you've already kind of gone big fish hunting and you've had some success. Now you really got to lock in and try to find some guys, maybe coming up from mid-majors, maybe coming up from D2 or whatever, and try to find guys that can really, you know, fill out your roster and be guys that can come in and make an impact for just a few minutes a game, because you've kind of got your main core of players locked in. Without Carlisle, obviously, he's still one of the big guys they're trying to get. But if you get him, then you really just got to try to find really nice complementary pieces. Shooters, obviously, is what fans want. A backup big, maybe. You know, I think Amari Williams will probably go somewhere else because we've kind of got our front court established. So there's going to be a lot more pieces to try to add to this team. But like you said, they might not even be in the portal yet. There could be a guy on April 27th that decides to enter the transfer portal that Indiana might be interested in. So a lot of moving pieces. That's why I wouldn't be concerned yet about lack of added shooters or whatever, because there's going to be plenty of more guys entering their names in the portal here before we get to May 1st, and just going to be ever-changing and ever-flowing. So we're just going to see more and more names, and hopefully Indiana can get Carlisle locked down and then just try to fill out their roster accordingly to what they need.
Dylan Wallace with us on Fridays. Dylan, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, as we head to commercial break, I'm seeing that the Indiana Pacers, who open up the NBA playoffs on Sunday, I believe for the first time since 2014, are actually the favorite to win a series. And the Pacers, I believe, are the 6th seed, and Milwaukee Bucks are the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. I got to believe that's because of some injuries right now with the Bucks. But we'll see what the Pacers can do. I'm interested to watch this Indiana team in the playoffs and see if they can put a run together, see if they can win a series here over the next week or so. We'll head to a break. We're back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll get into the, Mr. Basketball finalist and much more coming up related to prep basketball, recruiting, and more. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday program. Thornton's text line open, 502-414-1450, again, 502-414-1450, if you want to text in with a question or a comment. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he joins us Fridays. We talk a lot of high school basketball and recruiting during this segment, and we'll do that today as the 6th Mr. Basketball finalist for the 2024 edition of the coveted award were announced a little earlier this week. And Kyle, I'll go through the names quickly. Jack Benner of Brownstown, Flory Badunga of Kokomo, Micah Davis of Franklin, Keenan Garner, of Fishers, Evan Haywood of Rebuff, and KJ Windham of Ben Davis, the 6 names that are up for the award this year. Can you take us through the race? Can you handicap where things are at? And could a Mid-Southern Conference player from Southern Indiana like Jack Benner, could he win this award?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly has picked up some momentum, I think, through the end of the season. And I honestly think he was one of the top names even, you know, going into the tournament. But certainly is you know, with his state championship, with his finishing, I believe it was number 11 on the all-time scoring list, and you know, certainly everything he even accomplished up to that point would lead you to believe he's right in that mix. You know, I think the advantage for Flory is he kind of had you know, a little bit of a jump going into the year where he was you know, played for a state championship last year. He's a, you know, two-time Gatorade Player of the Year, McDonald's All-American, you know, all of those things. So, you know, it's just you know, can you make up enough ground? And I think Jack will certainly carry, you know, a lot of weight as far as, you know, the vote in Southern Indiana and, you know, from the coaches and the, you know, the media in that direction of the state. So, yeah, I certainly think he's a viable candidate and probably pretty high on that list of six.
Carlton Hendrip, Indianapolis Star, with us on Fridays. You know, you've got a great pulse on high school hoops and the All-Star game and Mr. Basketball and really everything in our state. You know, that award to some is historical and extremely important, and it's a big reason to try to be the best in your class, your graduating class. What do you feel, Kyle, as the overall feeling about Mr. Basketball these days? Does that award still carry the prominence and the importance that it did, say, 15, 20 or more years ago?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to gauge that. I think, you know, I think it still carries more weight than it does, you know, probably in a lot of areas and a lot of places. And, you know, the traffic on our website is hard to, it's hard to argue that it's not important, you know, based on, you know, and really high school sports in general, you know, people are still very interested in Indiana. So, yeah, I think from those areas, it's hard to gauge, though. You know, people are just pulled in a lot of different directions in this era, probably more than they were, you know, I don't know about 15, 20, but yeah, probably 15, 20 years ago, even still, and certainly beyond that, you know, where, you know, high school sports was the thing. Now people are kind of, you know, on a Friday night, they might have their own thing going on or their own kids' stuff, and there's just more sports, more, you know, more opportunities to do things. You know, or just stay home and, you know, have your own entertainment, you know, just the way the world is now. So, you know, it's hard to gauge. It's hard to argue that it has any more significance than it did years ago. But I do think it still carries a lot of weight. You know, it carries a lot of importance. You know, I know the awards banquet we do, I think is a neat thing to sort of honor that tradition and sort of add to it. In my opinion, maybe that's a self-serving way to look at it, but I really enjoy that that we've done that these last several years, or I think other than the COVID year where we couldn't do anything. But, you know, for the most part, we've been able to do that since, I think, 2018 or so, and it's been a neat thing to be able to, or actually 16, I believe, we did it with Kyle Guy the first time. So it's been kind of a neat addition. So, you know, hopefully people enjoy that. And I think it still does carry a lot of weight.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star. He's with us Fridays on the show. Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. Those dates and locations have been set and announced. And Scottsburg is going to host the Indiana-Kentucky Junior All-Star Game, I believe. So some of the best underclassmen in the state, both Indiana and Kentucky, will be playing in Scottsburg on a date later this summer. That series, can you maybe handicap the series for us this year? The Indiana boys and girls, I think pretty talented senior classes this year, and Indiana obviously has dominated for the most part the series in recent years, but how does it look like, what does it look like from the Indiana side this year?
Yeah, I mean, this senior class is probably not as deep, I would say, as some years are, but I do think they've got a good, you know, and some of the Indian All-Star picks were maybe a little bit different than what people had expected, you know, just kind of based on how the tournament went a little bit and kind of your needs of the team. So, you know, I don't know if we talked about that, the All-Star team necessarily, but I think that, you know, there are some you know, like a Carson Rogers, I think, going into the year from Kokomo. You probably didn't expect him to be on the team. He ends up making it. Jack Miller from Scottsburg has a huge state championship game, and he ends up making the team. So you had some different players make it who maybe you didn't expect to. I'm curious to see how the juniors fare against the seniors. I think that'll be a really good test because the juniors are super, super talented and, you know, just a lot of good players on that. Very deep class generally. So, you know, to see Braylon Mullins and, you know, Trent Sisley and those guys, Xavier Robinson against the seniors will be really interesting, a lot of fun. But yeah, I think, you know, just it's not as deep of a class, I would say, but still a very good class.
Kyle, I want to change the subject here to close out our segment. Caitlin Clark, drafted by the Fever earlier this week. And I know that you don't cover the Fever all the time, but you're around the Indianapolis sports scene a lot more than I am. Unbelievable the impact she had on women's college basketball during her time at Iowa. And I mentioned earlier in the show today her game at Washington in early June. It's already going to be moved to a much bigger arena due to demand for tickets. It appears she is well on her way to having a major, major impact on the women's level of professional basketball as well. And I tell you what, can you talk a little bit about what her addition will mean for the Fever and that franchise and the city of Indianapolis when it comes to importance in the sports scene there and just maybe the growth of women's basketball in our state or in Indianapolis or that greater area?
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing, you know, to kind of, and I wasn't there for the press conference and everything, but just to see, you know, just the, you know, the impact she has had already, you know, just by being here and, you know, coming to Indiana. And the Fever have been just dreadfully terrible, you know, almost hard to believe how bad they've been the last several years. So obviously from their perspective as a franchise, it's you know, to put it mildly, it's just night and day difference, just because of how terrible they've been. But, you know, from, it almost goes beyond, you know, basketball and sports and everything. It's almost like, you know, and this is probably overstating it, but it's like, you know, Michael Jordan coming to your team, all this, you know, to your city. It's just amazing. You know, the following that she's built and the, you know, what a great player and you know, following that she has. So, you know, who knows how it plays out. I mean, I can't imagine she won't be a, you know, a very big impact player from day one, just based on her talent and her ability to score and all those sorts of things. But, you know, that's almost lesser than, you know, sort of the following that she'll have and the, you know, sort of the fan interest, I think. And I don't even know if it matters how good the Fever are necessarily. I think that, you know, to a certain extent that'll matter, but, you know, that's almost secondary to me, you know, and obviously that'll be kind of how she's judged, obviously, is how good they do as a team. But I do think it's just more about, you know, her being, you know, a part of a bigger community. I don't even know how to say it really, but it's it just sort of seems that way to me, like it's something bigger than basketball.
Yeah, good stuff. Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, with us Fridays here on the show. Kyle, high school baseball is underway. We've had a chance here to track some of our better teams. It looks like Floyd Central, probably from far southern Indiana, is off to a great start this year. Have you been out to any high school baseball opportunities in Indianapolis, and any read on the state or the season so far this year?
No, sir. No, I've still been you know, doing Purdue at the Final Four and, you know, getting our basketball stuff wrapped up. And, no, I, absolutely not. You know, hopefully at some point I'll be going to some track stuff. But we got a guy who does most of our baseball, so if I can stay away from that for a while, that's much better.
Understand. You got a great opportunity to go to Phoenix in the Final Four. I know we had a chance to talk to you from Phoenix just before the Purdue semifinal game a few weeks ago. I know that had to be a very fun opportunity to be on the ground live and in person for the Final Four and the national championship game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Really enjoyed that. You know, obviously Purdue's got a lot of in-state kids, so, you know, well, not kids anymore, but yeah, to reconnect with a lot of those players and even coaches, you know, wrote about PJ Thompson and Brandon Brantley, who are part of that staff. And, We've known those guys, and, you know, Brandon was coaching AAU with Pat Mullen and assisting at Ben Davis back when I first met him. So it's been fun to see his rise in the coaching ranks. And then, of course, PJ playing at Brebeuf and then, you know, going on to be an Indian All-Star and you know, going on playing at Purdue. So certainly, you know, really, and then Matt Painter is just so, you know, it's fun to see him on that stage and just answers every question, just really a good guy to get, you know, to talk to. You know, he just has a lot of thoughts on different subjects and gives you time. So, but yeah, just a really neat experience, not only for Purdue fans, I think, but, you know, even people who aren't necessarily Purdue fans to get a chance to see a team like that make it to the Final Four and, you know, just knock on that door. You know, Purdue, UConn just so good. You know, I'm not sure anybody would have beat them in that type of game, but just to get there, I think takes a lot of, you know, relief off of Painter's shoulders and certainly the program just to get there.
Absolutely. Kyle Dedrip, Indianapolis Star, always kind enough to be with us on Fridays. Kyle, great to talk. We'll be back together next week and catch up then.
Okay, sounds good, Matt. Thanks.
All right, Kyle Dedrip, the Indianapolis Star. Have a great Friday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Thunder over Louisville. Stay safe, and we'll chat again on Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.